Friends don't let friends go into the light without reading Vishali's You Are What You Love, and now her new release, Wisdom Rising. Reaching enlightenment has never been more entertaining. Go to Vishali's website, purplev.com, and order her books. Watch her in action in the multimedia room. Read about her private sessions and enjoy the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. Anyone who says money can't buy happiness hasn't read Vishali's books, You Are What You Love, and now Wisdom Rising. Order today from Amazon or purplev.com.
Intuitive healer and medium Linda Drake is the author of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. Like Esther Hicks, Linda has comforted thousands of people by offering the empowering guidance and wisdom of Abraham. Linda connects you with information to support your guidance in career, relationships, and health. Vishali has been a big fan of Linda Drake's and has come to rely on her accuracy and compassion. Linda will be appearing on You Are What You Love, the third Saturday of every month. The knowledge Linda's gained through years of communicating with Abraham offers a unique yet comforting perspective of your soul's journey through life, death, and the world beyond. For more information about Linda, to schedule a private phone session, or to purchase her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, go to www.lindadrakebooks.com.
Friends don't let friends go into the light without reading Vishali's You Are What You Love, and now her new release, Wisdom Rising. Reaching enlightenment has never been more entertaining. Go to Vishali's website, www.purplev.com, and order her books. Watch her in action in the multimedia room. Read about her private sessions and enjoy the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. Anyone who says money can't buy happiness hasn't read Vishali's books, You Are What You Love, and now Wisdom Rising. Order today from Amazon or purplev.com.
Telling you now, says you don't have to think about it.
Welcome to You Are What You Love, your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vishali.
And welcome to another exciting episode of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vishali, the wild child of the airwaves, your spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the beyond karma queen of radio and literature. And as you know, I'm the author of the book, You Are What You Love. And my new book, Wisdom Rising, will be released from the printers next Friday. It doesn't get more exciting than that. So you are welcome to go to my website, purplev.com, and you can click on the bookstore and you can order Wisdom Rising. And as soon as it ends up in the distributor's hot little hands, it will be immediately shipped to you. You can also go to amazon.com and order Wisdom Rising. And if you are a fan of Longinus, Book 1 of The Merlin Factor, you will be thrilled to know that Meriden, Book 2 of The Merlin Factor, is being released from the printers at the exact identical moment my new book, Wisdom Rising, is. And you can, again, go to my website, purplev.com, and order Wisdom Rising and Meriden, Book 2 of The Merlin Factor. Or you can go to amazon.com and order Wisdom Rising or Meriden. And that is Meriden, M-Y-R-R-I-D-D-I-N. I'm sure, just as you imagined, it was to be spelled. And I want to let you know that I'm going to be opening up the phone lines this evening. The hotline to the Wild Woman this evening is 877-520-1150. Again, that's 877-520-1150. 520-1150. I'm a spiritual teacher, and I'm here to help you understand the purpose of human existence, why we're here, how to own and operate the human experience so that you get the most out of being here. I am here to help us understand the questions, explore and unpack the questions of why am I here? What's the meaning and purpose of my life? What is my value, my power, my worth? How can I better understand my life purpose? Any spiritual question that you have about your own personal life or a greater philosophical spiritual question, that's why I'm here. So we can talk about these things and examine life from the larger perspective. And again, if you have a hotline question for the Wild Woman, you're welcome to call in at 877-520-1150. You can also join me in the chat room. We have a chat room communication going on now. You would go to Purple V. V is in Violet. V is in Wishali. PurpleV.com. And in the lower right hand corner, you'll see a little button that says V Chat. Click on that and join us in the chat room. I see we are joined by Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine. Don't you look gorgeous? We are joined also by the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. So if you have a question today about somebody who has crossed over, the Empress is with us. So she is one of the most pristine psychic mediums it's ever been my pleasure to know. So if you have a question about talking to a loved one who has crossed over, the Empress is in the house, and she can help you understand any communication that you need to know or understand any thing that a loved one is going through once they have crossed over. And I see that we're already burning up the phone lines. We've got Frank from Ontario on. So why don't we bring Frank on? Frank, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm outrageously blessed, darling, but that's my job. And how can I be of service to you, sweetheart?
Oh, thank you. I had a question. I'd like to know what my... I'm so nervous. What my purpose here in life is?
Why you chose this? What you chose to work on in this particular life?
Yes, yes, my soul's journey or my soul's agreement.
Isn't that beautiful, sweetheart? There's no reason to be nervous, sweetheart. Take a nice deep breath. Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you, angel. That's not my job. You are well within friends. And I'm going to invite the Empress to go ahead, and if you're getting some additional information that you would like Frank to know about his life purpose, Empress, feel free to go ahead and text that into the chat room, and I'll be happy to read that to Frank. Frank, there's something I started getting immediately when you called in, and I want to step back for a moment and kind of explain some smaller concepts and work up to it so that when I share this bigger picture, it has more depth and breadth and meaning to it for you. In my book, You Are What You Love, one of the things, oh, and we're getting a message here from the Empress, and the first thing she's saying is you need to relax. You're gonna get Wild Woman on Wild Woman action, Frank. Please just relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy it. So the first thing that I want to say is in my book, You Are What You Love, I take painstaking time to explain a phenomena that happens in spiritual growth, in the spiritual world and in the physical world. And I describe it this way. We can understand how spiritually healthy we are by how creative we are. Because God consciousness, when it's healthy, is very creative. God creates something from nothing. God created the heavens and the earth from nothing. So when our God consciousness is healthy, we are very creative. We are creating a resolution. We are creating a new response to old problems. We are creating our way out of limitation and out of unhappiness by creating a new response to it. So we can tell how spiritually healthy we are by looking at our life and simply seeing how much of our life are we creating a new response to old problems versus how much of our time here on the earth are we recreating the problem over and over again. How much of our time goes to worrying like a dog chasing its tail over and over and over again versus creating a new response to that worry and resolving our habitual habit to worry? So is this idea of creation and recreation. Does that make sense to you, Frank, my love?
No.
In other words...
I'll play it back.
In other words, what I'm going to propose is I want you to look at something in your life, and I want you to look at how much of this issue do you find constantly resurging in your life versus how much do you see yourself creating a new response and growing beyond it? And this is the issue.
Yes.
You came here to the earth because one of the things that you wanted to commit to, and I know this is going to sound initially on a superficial level is going to sound a little convoluted, but I want you to hang in there with me. You wanted to create a new response to life itself. Because most people that are here, Frank, aren't showing up for life fully. They're showing up for life in a very half-assed way, as if this was a dress rehearsal, or as if something better was going to come down the pike at any moment. We come here to the earth to experience ourselves, grow, and learn. And the way that we do that is through expressing ourselves. So that means we need to show up for our expression fully and not in a half-assed manner. If you're going to show up here on the planet Earth, get in touch with your needs. Don't do it in a half-assed manner. Don't apologize for being here. Show up here and be power without apology. Show up for your expressions fully and completely. Be fully alive. When you show up here for the planet Earth, you've already got the bill. You already have a body. You're already going to get fat. You're already going to have to deal with people that lie and cheat to you. You're already going to have to pay taxes. You're going to have to deal with the government. You're going to have to get all the stuff that comes with being here, all the limitation and all the foibles and all the painful things that come with being on the earth. When you come here, those are a given. You're already going to get those. So since you've already paid the bill for that, you've already paid the price for that, get what you really came here for and be fully alive. Don't hold back on yourself. Approach each day as if this were, Buddhism says this is a great philosophy. Approach each day as if this were your last day. If this was your last day, how fully would you show up for it? How completely would you live? I've got this poster in my office. It's a poster of the fabulous James Dean. And why I picked this poster in my office is that there's a quote underneath it that says, "Dream as if you'll live forever. Live as if you'll die today." And that is so incredibly Buddhist, because the truth of the matter is that tomorrow is promised to no one. And all we have is this present moment. And if you were going to look back on your life and you were going to look back on how you showed up for it, is that the life that you wanted to live? Or do you find that there are certain ways that you're holding back on yourself? There are certain ways where you're not fully showing up for life, maybe because you're afraid it won't work out for you. You're afraid of being disappointed. But the bottom line is anytime we hold out on ourselves, we've already lost. We've already been disappointed. We've already been robbed because we haven't shown up for ourselves. So what I'm getting is that one of the things that you wanted to practice in this life is going, it's one of my favorite expressions. I like to talk about spirituality in porno terms. Forgive me. You want to go balls to the walls. You want to take off the safety helmet. You want to take off all the limits that you've had, and you really want to experience what it's like to show up for life fully, taking on whatever risks that involves. Because the truth of the matter is, even if you don't show up and live fully, you're taking the risks on anyway, because you're here. And when you're here, the risks come with part of the package. Is this making sense, wild man?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, you really got my attention. I used to have a fire in me, which nobody would stop, and the last decade, things have changed in my life. But, wow, you really ignited that flame.
That's what you're here to do, boyfriend. That's exactly what you're here to do. Because if you're going to be here, you want to show up 100%. You sat down with God and said, you know, I've shown up. I've had the wife. I've had the kids. I've had the job. I've had this. I've had that. But you know what? I felt like I was sleepwalking. And what is it going to take for me to finally say, you know what? I'm here. I'm committed to being here. Because whether you commit to being here or not, all the foibles, all the shortcomings are going to end up in your backyard anyway. Because that's just what happens when we're here. There's a comment here from the Empress, and she's saying here that there's a loneliness about you, that there's you've been harboring this interior feeling or this interior dialogue that you tell yourself that you don't fit in. And when we don't show up for our own life, the most intimate relationship you're ever going to have is a relationship that you have with yourself, right? I mean, you're always going to be in relationship with yourself. That's never going to change, right?
True.
And if we don't show up for the most intimate relationship we're ever going to have, which is ourselves, how are we going to expect other people outside of us to fill that void? How are we going to expect them to have meaningful contact with us if we don't show up for the only ultimate intimate relationship we're ever going to have, and that's with ourselves? Because no matter how many times you get divorced or married or how many kids you do or don't have or what your job is, everywhere you go, there you are. You are always going to take yourself with you. And if you're not showing up for your life 100%, you've disenfranchised yourself from yourself. That's going to be the root of your loneliness, is that you're not showing up for the only intimate relationship you're ever ultimately going to have, which is your relationship with yourself. And if you're not there for you, that's going to be a loneliness nobody is ever going to fill. You're not going to be able to get a big enough subscription on the Spice Channel and, you know, taking happiness into your own hands to fill that void. If we're not there for ourselves, there will be a life-size hole that no one else can fill, because it's designed to be filled by us showing up for our own life. We all have free will. I can't show up for you. You can't show up for me. I've got to choose to show up for me, and you've got to choose to show up for you. And that's free will at its finest. So what I want to share with you is, when you feel that loneliness creep in, or that sensation of being a misfit, of among misfits, and not fitting in, I want you to know that that is you trying to get your own attention to let you know, dude, babe, you're not showing up for your life to the utmost that is your potential. And that loneliness that you're feeling is that you miss the comfort and presence of you. And nobody can take that place. No one can fill those shoes.
Wow. I've been mourning somebody that has passed. And there's some issues I've been trying to take care of. And that's... I guess I blocked myself.
You know what, Frank? When people that we love cross over, they actually have a more intimate connection with us than they did when they were alive, because they can be with us all the time, because their physical body isn't in the way. They're living their life and getting their life lessons isn't in the way. They've resolved that. They've completed that. They've graduated from the school. My favorite mystic, the great Emanuel Swedenborg, he was an 18th century scientist mystic, and it's his 35 volumes of work that I base the spiritual teaching that I share with people on. And he has this wonderful saying, Frank. He says that when somebody that you love dies, they actually are closer to you than when you both had a body and were on the planet. Because when you think of that person and you give them your attention and you feel them inside you, you are literally sharing the same space. You existed as a force of love before you showed up as the Frank being on this planet. You will be a force of love after the Frank being falls away and you move on to your next level of learning. But the love that you have with this person transcends the coming and going of your physical body. I call my physical body, I call it the rental car, because I rent it. I rent this vehicle so I have something to interact with the physical world and run around in. But there's going to become a time when I'm going to turn the rental car in, because I've gotten everything I need to from this life and I'm ready to move on. Your rental car being here and them having turned in their rental car doesn't change the love that you have for each other, doesn't change that you can still communicate and talk to each other, doesn't change that you can still help each other. Does it mean that you're going to have to redefine it? Absolutely. Does it mean that you're going to have to require more of yourself instead of defining it by the lowest common denominator of their rental car? Absolutely. But look at what's in it for you to connect to a love that is eternal, that can't die. What a payoff. And the more that we spend mourning and being preoccupied with the loss of the physical, the more we don't make ourselves available for connecting to the love that never dies. And the loved one that you have, do you think that you're fixating on their having returned their rental car instead of celebrating the closeness and love that you have is what they would want you to be doing?
Yes.
You think that they would want you to be mourning them instead of celebrating the closeness that you have?
No, that's true. That's true. But it just there were so many things in my life. There was this even lying from family members that really scarred me. That she was hidden from me, and then now I'm dealing with it with a court issue. So, and that's another question I had. I have a court date the 17th of next month, and I was wondering if there's any messages from the other side.
You know, I have a lot of experience with court stuff through divorces, and I had a terrible car accident trial, and so I know that. I know what that's like to have that hanging over your head. And this is one of the things that I want to share with you that helped me tremendously, Frank. When we give our attention to things that live in an unlimited place, spiritually, that puts us in a heavenly unlimited place. And when we give our attention to limited things, it puts us spiritually in a hellishly limited place. And when you give your attention to something, you affect the environment around you. And when you walk into that courtroom and you say, I don't have love, I am love. And I trust in my divinity. I trust my divinity brought me here. I trust myself as a force of love. I trust that I cannot create a learning experience I do not need. I trust that I'm creating what I need when I need it. And I can show up for that because this court is working for me. There's only one power I recognize, and that's divine love and wisdom. I don't recognize any other power than divine love and wisdom. It is the most powerful force in the universe. It has asked me to show up here and be here. And in the name of divine love and wisdom, as divine love and wisdom, I am showing up, and this experience is working for me. And when you show up for that attitude, you bring that courtroom into a heavenly, unlimited place. And what happens in the courtroom isn't nearly as important as what are you doing with your free will. Did you choose to show up there committed to bringing that space into an unlimited, heavenly existence, or did you decide you wanted to show up as a victim? You decide with your free will. What is this about? What do you want to learn from this experience? Do you want to learn that there's only one power you recognize, and no matter what the world throws at you, it can't shake you from your relationship with divine love and wisdom? Or do you want to learn that the exterior world has power over you and can tyrannize you? That's the only thing you've got control over here, is the attitude that you walk into that courtroom with. I got to tell you, a lot of the court stuff that I had at the time seemed like it did not work out for me. It looked like, if you were to read the transcripts, it looked like it did not work out for me. But I can tell you, in the bigger picture of my life, what happened in those courtrooms was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it opened up the door for a whole other life and a whole other existence. It worked for me. And the only thing that allowed me to keep my sanity was walking in there and saying, I only recognize one power. It's divine love and wisdom. Whatever happens in this court, it is working for me. And that allowed me to work through it and claim my life that was on the other side. So the physical world, it's very tricky. It's what I call the keep it real arena. It's constantly throwing things at you to help you decide, are you going to recognize divine love and wisdom, or are you going to default and recognize another power? Which power do you want? When you were telling me about the things that happened in your past with your family and those scarrings, my advice to you, Frank, would be don't recognize their power. They're working for you. They're making you stronger, more compassionate, more self-assured, more confident man who shows up knowing what his needs are, speaking his truth, and showing up for this life, balls to the walls, full-assed, because nobody in this planet has the power to change that choice in your life, and you are self-actualizing. And they're going to have to get out of your way because you are coming through, boyfriend.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
It's not about what's happening out there. That's not what it's really about. What it's really about is what's going on in you. That's what it's really about. Don't lose sight of that. They're going to throw a lot of balls. They're going to juggle things. Don't lose sight of it. It's not what's about what's happening out there. It's about what's happening in you and how you identify yourself, what power you choose to identify, and what attitude you align yourself with. That's all it's about. I promise you.
You're right. I was starting to lose sight of it. I was starting to second guess myself. Am I doing the right thing? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this, maybe that. You're absolutely right. You're right. I should just stick with my first choice and just go for it.
And make this about you. Make this about your growth and you showing up for life fearlessly, because you've had it come into this planet and taken life after life and not getting to the full throttle mode. And what I want to do, sweetheart, is I can see that the Empress has got some information for you. And it looks to me as if it's information that would be well worth your while to get from her. So you can email her at Empress, remind me what your email is, and let me ask you, Empress, if it's all right for me to give out your contact number over the phone. Do you have a piece of paper and something to write with, Frank?
Yes, I do.
Good, because I'm going to get this contact information from Julia. She is the best psychic medium I've ever worked with in my entire life. We do a lot of work together, and she's seeing that there's some stuff around you that I think would be helpful for you to know and for you to work with on her. And she's works on a donation basis, so she would be very happy to work with you. And I think where there's a couple of minute delay, she's here. It is. She wants you to email her at the Empress, E-M-P-R-E-S-S, of Empowerment. The Empress of Empowerment at gmail.com. And her website is www.namasteBeloved.com. That information, and her official website will be up September 3rd. But email her, theempressofempowerment@gmail.com, and her website is Namaste Beloved. There's some other information that I think is well worth your time to connect with her, sweetheart, and it's much more than we can get into on this show. But I want you to have that contact, and I want you to get that information, and I want you to make this about you being a fully committed force of love on this planet. And if other people don't like it, they can get out of your way, because that's what you're doing with your free will. That's what you came here to do. That's what you came here to recognize. And there's only one God in your life, and that's divine love and wisdom. And nobody else is going to wave the fear God or intimidation God at you and distract you from your goal.
Thank you.
Are you with me?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm so glad I called you. I really am.
Thank you so much, Frank, and know that I'm here every Saturday night. You're welcome to call in anytime. You can email me, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, V@purplev.com. Send me an email. I'll put you on my email list. Let me know how things are going with you. Maybe you just want to shoot me an email and say, I'm in my power. Join with me. Pray with me as a being of love. And I'd be happy to do that. I'm here for you, darling, because you are God and you are a force of love to be reckoned with. Frank? Okay. Well, thank you, Frank. And I'd like to let our listening audience know that you're listening to You Are What You Love. And I'm Wishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the author of You Are What You Love and my newly released book, Wisdom Rising, which will be shipped from the printers a week from today. I am so excited to share Wisdom Rising with you. I want to let you know that if you have a burning question for the wild woman, the phone lines are open. You're welcome to contact me at 877-520-1150. Again, that's 877-520-1150. And you are also welcome to email me, v@purplev.com. And you're welcome to join us here online in the chat room. Come to purplev.com, and in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little box called VChat. Click on that and join me in the most beautiful purple chat room in all of internet land. And I see we have the lovely Eric from Canoga Park on. Is Eric still there?
Yep.
Eric, welcome to You Are What You Love, my dove. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm wonderful. Listening to you talk the truth is a pleasure. I've been blessed to kind of come to some of these points that you think about and speak of on my own, and after years of feeling so weird about it, I saw What the Bleep and The Secret and realized that I guess I'm not the only one out there who thinks of love and just giving it freely as a way of breathing for our soul. And I just hear you every week talk, and I thought I'd call and say hello and just kind of, you know, when you ask, I guess, the question, when you find yourself at the point where creating reality is something that you do daily, and you can look back and see, you know, miracles of your own creation and manifestation of your own belief that you are, and we all are God, and how we can all create anything we want, you know, good and bad. But if once you get to that point, you know, and you see yourself in life doing well, sometimes not as well as you'd hope, sometimes better than you could ever imagine, what's the next step? You know, offering your love freely, I think, is part of that, but to get to the next level that your path is ordained to, what is that next step? How do you get to that, or does it just come, or what's your thoughts on that?
Okay. The first thing that I want to say, sweetheart, is I'm listening to your languaging. It sounds as if you're organizing this in your mind in a way that is very, very common, the way that a lot of people do. And that's especially for men, because men are very fix-it and goal-oriented. Is you're kind of looking this as an event or a goal to be achieved. And the truth of the matter is that this is a lifelong journey, understanding that love and our awareness, our consciousness, your awareness, and your divinity, your spiritual identity, all are inseparable. They're all one. They're all bound up, interrelated, mutually inclusive of each other. So when you give your attention to something, you're giving it a very powerful force. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. And when we give our attention to something, we're giving it our love. And people in the West have a tendency to think of love as an emotion that we give to only to things that we like, or things that we have an affinity for, or baby puppies and kittens, or, you know, romantic dinners at candlelight, or Hallmark cards. And that's very myopic view. Your awareness, your consciousness is inseparable from love, because you don't have love. You are love. So it's not even bound to this life, any incarnation, anywhere, any place, any time that you have. If you're giving something your attention, you will always be giving it your love. That is never going to change, no matter where you are, how many lives you have, where you incarnate, whether you have a physical body or don't have a physical body. This is the supreme law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So this is going to be a lifelong event during the course of our life. Is the purpose of created life is for us to learn this law, to understand this law, that you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. That means that what this is about, our life is about learning to be judicious about what we give our love to be discerning about what we give our attention to. If you're giving your attention to something that is limiting, is that really what you want to love? Did you really drag your spiritual butt across the cosmos and squeeze yourself into a little bag of protoplasm so that you could be on this rock in this lifetime and give all of your love to some limiting, myopic thing? If the answer is no, when you find yourself giving your attention to limiting things, to stop and arrest that habit. I have another show on Fridays, and you can learn more about those by going to my website, purplev.com. V is in Wishali, V is in Violet. And last Friday, it's on my archive shows. If you go to purplev.com and click on my listening lounge, it'll come up. I had a interview with Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. This is the woman who's been on a lot of the YouTubes, that the TED series talk. She had a stroke. Her book is called My Stroke of Insight, and she had a stroke and had a blood clot removed from her brain the size of a golf ball. And what she learned when she had this stroke is when her left side of her brain shut down, the left side of our brain determines separation. It tells you who you are. It's where your ego lives. And the right side of the brain just has the bigger picture that we're love and we're connected to everything. And when she had this stroke and her ego was shut down and removed, all she could do was connect to the bigger picture. And one of the things that we talked about is as she started recovering from the stroke, her brain circuitry, which is whatever you habitually give your attention to, that is your brain circuitry. That when she started recovering, her old brain circuitry started to try and reassert itself and started to come in. And what she would notice is that there were ways that she used to think that were trying to come back that didn't make her feel good. She said, nope, I'm not doing that. I've learned that you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And when you feel yourself giving your attention to something limiting, it's a brain circuitry pattern you have trained yourself. You can train yourself to give your attention to something else. So the whole purpose of being here on the planet Earth is to keep taking your love back. Anytime you find it going to worrying about something, thinking this isn't going to work out for you, seeing something in the temporal world as having more power than your divinity, not being in the present moment, any of these things, when you find yourself doing that, taking your love back and bringing it back to being in this moment as a force of love, recognizing that everything works for you or divine love and wisdom wouldn't let it touch your life. And living your life in that unlimited place of I don't have love, I am love, I am immortal, I am ageless, I am timeless, I came here to express myself and to learn and to grow, and there is no judgment, there is only learning, and the only power I recognize is divine love and wisdom. And any time you go outside of that definition to seeing yourself as less than, as impoverished, as a person it isn't going to work out for, the person who's going to get in the slow lane on the freeway or in the store, you stop. Put that down and bring your love back to being a force of love and nothing else, unless you feel there's a payoff in being something other than divine love and wisdom. And if you feel there's a payoff in being something other than divine love and wisdom, then please give it all of your attention. Is this making sense, boyfriend?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It seems like you just have to exercise that awareness, and that's kind of the destination.
The destination is the present moment, and what are you doing with your attention? What are you doing with your love? I want you to know that there is a comment from the Empress in the Known and Unknown Universe in the webs in our chat room here, and she wants to remind you to breathe. Breathing is how we process our emotions. Breathing is how our body digests emotions. And she was saying that she was picking up on some energy like asthma or bronchitis. And what that tells me from my years of studying Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine is that what she's picking up on is that there's some unresolved, deep-seated sadness and grief. And that means, what that means, my love, what that means, Eric, is that there's something that you're giving your attention to that rather than empowering you as a force of divine love, is opening something that is allowing unresolved grief and sadness to come in. Is this making any sense to you?
I can see some of that deep down there, you know, stuff you've dealt with that definitely has those overtones. Although a bit of first-time jitters might be clued into that as well.
And again, sweetheart, the Empress and I are here to love on you and to warmly embrace you as a force of divine love and to remind you that you are immortal, you are perfect, and that you can't create a learning experience you don't need. This is the softest place you will ever have to land. You can relax.
Can I ask a separate question, too?
Yes, darling.
I have a business situation with an artist that I'm working with, and I've just luckily landed a gallery for him. And, you know, he's an amazing artist, and I feel like there's such huge possibilities with the situation. Do you have any feelings about that, anything that comes to you when I mention that to you?
I'm looking at it right now, sweetheart. Okay, what I'm getting is, actually, this is actually the perfect antidote for, I'm reading what the Empress is saying here. She's also picking up some other energy physiologically. And actually what I'm getting that this is about is the exact antidote to what the Empress is picking up and what she's reading and what I'm seeing here. This relationship should be about you connecting to the energy of play. Because creativity at its finest is an unfettered, uncensored dance with play. How creative can you be if you completely extinguish the spirit of play and playfulness? And this relationship, if you allow yourself to go in this, making it all about connecting to the spirit of play and allowing whatever is in this moment to bring you, to draw you out in a playful way. It is an energetic antidote to some of the energy that the Empress and I are seeing you're wanting to move out, you're wanting to work through. Because grief and sadness and heaviness cannot coexist in the same space as playful and lighthearted. So this is the antidote. It's the energetic antidote to whatever baggage you've been carrying around. Here's the caveat, my love. Put on your play glasses. Look at this from what is in this for me as a playful therapy, as a reconnection to the spirit of play. What is in this for me as far as being possessed by the spirit of outrageous playfulness? That's what's in it for you. If you will put on those glasses, if you will run it through that filter, I think that you will find that there is immeasurable gifts for you in this relationship.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that comment very much.
Excellent, my love. Thank you. And know that I'm here every Saturday, and you're always welcome to call up and shake the wild woman's cage, rattle my chain. I would love that, darling.
Bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Blessings to you, my love.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye, sweetheart. I want to remind our listening audience, you're listening to You Are What You Love, and I'm Wishali, the wild child, author of You Are What You Love, and my new book, Wisdom Rising. It is going to be shipped from the printers next week, and I could not be more excited to share this book with you. Every cartoon in the book, every chapter in this book starts with a cartoon. It is just the epitome of playfulness and fun, and I'm so excited to share it with you. You can go to my website, purplev.com, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, and order my book, or go to amazon.com and put in Wisdom Rising. You can also email me, v@purplev, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, v@purplev.com, and say, yo, wild woman, I want to get on your email list. And once a week, I will send you a beautiful purple email with my smiling face, letting you know about my different radio shows and my guests, and there will be a URL embedded in that email to make it very easy for you to connect to those shows. And I see we've got another caller. We've got Kathleen from Venice, the old stomping grounds of Jim Morrison. So, Kathleen, my darling, how are you? Are you there?
I am here. I'm great. Thank you.
And what can I do for you, my beloved?
Let's see. First off, thank you so much. I just love your message. And two things came to mind for me. One, I'm recently married, and we want to have a baby. So I just would love any information you get around that, around getting pregnant or around the soul. Hold on a second.
Okay, well, that sounded like that was Venice. That had all the sounds of Venice.
I know. Bless whoever's in that fire engine. So that's one question. Another one is I really feel like I have a career shift going on, which where I'm going to move more into service or creative work. And so I'm just curious if you get any hits on that.
Okay. The first thing that I'm getting is actually about the pregnancy that you're working on and you're holding the space for.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting that there's, before we come to the planet Earth, there's a lot of things that we sit down with divine love and wisdom, and we talk about what we want. We talk about what we want to learn in this life, and we talk about some of the lessons that we want to turn on, and some of the things that we're, want directions that we're wanting to grow. And we also talk about different spiritual connections with other beings that we love, that we've had a sense of continuity with, that we want to bring in our life, that we want to bring in to share this experience with us. And you absolutely, when you sat down, said there are... There is one critically important spiritual connection that I want to bring in. And I want to bring it in as a child. Because there is some support and some nurturing that I want to lavish on this spiritual creature, this other personality, this other spiritual being. So what I'm getting is that there is a commitment, there is a contract for you to have at least one child.
Okay.
Beyond that, I'm not getting much information, but I'm getting that there is a, one that is absolutely imperative that you agreed to have, because this is a spiritual being that you've had many incarnations with.
Okay.
And they've helped you tremendously to grow. And you said, you know, they've really been there for me. They've helped nurture me. They've helped me come into a self-realization of who I am. They've been pivotally and critically important to my growth. And I want to extend that to them. I want to give them a wonderful home. I want to give it to them in a wonderful place in the country where there's freedom, where there's beauty, where we have access to wonderful food, where there's good schools. I want to give them this life where I can restore some of the incredibly empowering gifts that they've given me. I want to give that to them. So there has been an agreement. And it, one of the things that it looks like is that if you do have other children after that, because again, I'm only getting this one contract, don't compare the other children that you have with this first child, because this is a really, really special agreement. This is a soul that you've known for a long time, and I know you're going to have the child, and you're going to look at them, and they're going to have this little infant baby form, and the truth of the matter is they're a very old soul.
Okay.
And it's real easy for us when we look at kids to think of them as just, you know, little guys.
Right.
And not realize that they're ageless and immortal and timeless. But this is a really important relationship for you, sweetheart. And what I would suggest that you do is start talking to them on a soul level now.
Okay.
And start saying, we're ready to bring you in. You're invited. It's a safe place. And start that relationship of communicating with them now. And I suspect what's going to happen, Kathleen, is that you're just going to wake up one morning, or you're going to be doing something some afternoon, and it's just going to hit you. You're just going to say, oh my God, I know it. I'm pregnant. I just know it.
Great.
Because you're going to have established this communication, this contact with them to the point that is so tangible that the minute that they show up, you're going to know that bus pulled into that terminal. You're just, it's going to be solid.
Okay.
It's going to be a living connection because you've practiced connecting and talking to them and making it a living communication that you are open and receptive to. Does this make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I'm just curious if you get anything specific about this soul.
Specific in any particular way, sweetheart?
Any characteristics or past lives together, anything like that?
One of the things about this particular soul that I'm getting is they're going to be extremely intuitive.
Okay.
And what that means is they're, children are, all children are especially intuitive and open. And it seems as if the more they're around adults, the more they learn to shut that down and become insensitive because they're wanting to fit in. And they're learning about how to relate to reality from people that have already shut everything down.
Right.
And so one of the things that you're going to want to do with your child is honor whatever communication that they give you. If they tell you, you know, I see an angel in the corner, or I was out in the backyard talking to fairies, don't poo-poo them. Don't tell them, oh, well, you know, honey, that's not really true.
Okay.
Go ahead and communicate with them and say, oh, really, what did the fairies look like? And what did they tell you? And what does the angel look like? Are there angels around me?
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that you value their sharing. And that you seek it out because you trust in what they see and what they hear, and you trust in the intelligence of their communication.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
And when other teachers or other school kids or other people try to shut them down, you let them know that that's not your child's problem.
Okay.
That's their problem, and that you and your child know that your child is on it, and is intelligent, and is absolutely plugged in, and how wonderful it is that the two of you get to share that, and how priceless that is.
Great.
Excellent, girlfriend. And in the meantime, the Empress is suggesting if you would like to get her a kitty or a puppy and start practicing that maternal instinct, go ahead and get some little kitty doggy rescue and start practicing loving, lavishing that love on a living being.
Okay, great. I've got a brood, so I'll just keep giving them more.
Excellent, my darling. And please email me, V@purpleV, and let us know how it's coming. Call in at any time. We would absolutely enjoy celebrating your joy with you, my love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetheart. And Dorian, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I see you there in Long Beach. And what I want to encourage you to do is either email me, V@purpleV.com, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali, or please tune in next Saturday. Call on right at the beginning at 877-520-1150, and we'll take your call first. Or if you'd like to email me and you'd like me to email you back the response, I'd be more than happy to do that. But I know that I'm looking at like a minute and a half of air time. My producer has yet to whisper that exact time in my ear right now. Well, I've got a minute left. He's eavesdropping. So I want to give you the time that you deserve, sweetheart. So please email me. And anyone who's listening, know that you're welcome to email me, V@purpleV.com. I want to remind you again, I am so excited to share my new book, Wisdom Rising, with you. It is absolutely the best thing I've put out. That and You Are What You Love are pristine jewels of love from my heart to yours. They're pristine spiritual wisdom about why we're here, how to own and operate the human experience, and identify with only divine love and wisdom. Because if you can find something better than that to identify with, I'm getting out of your way and you have at it. But until we do it again next week, know that I'm on same bat time, same bat channel. Love to hear from you. V@purpleV, Wisdom Rising, You Are What You Love. Until we do it again next week, babies. Rock on.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Wishali. To order Wishali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Wishali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.